Peace talks are due to take place in Geneva, Switzerland in the next few weeks between Yemen's government in exile and the Shia Houthi rebels who now control much of the country. A civil war in Yemen has been raging since March when Yemen's president was ousted. Coalition forces led by Saudi Arabia and backed by the United States have been trying to force out the Houthi rebels who are backed by Iran. Gregory Johnson is author of The Last Refuge, Yemen, Al-Qaeda, and America's War in Arabia. He's with us from Princeton University in New Jersey. Gregory, what is the situation in Yemen now?
Yemen is incredibly chaotic at the moment. Basically, what we have is really an eight-sided civil war with everyone from Saudi Arabia, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Houthi rebels, Southern secessionists, Iran, and the U.S. involved. And so basically what's happened is that earlier this spring, about 7 months ago in March, Saudi Arabia launched a series of airstrikes in an attempt to get the Houthi rebels to withdraw from the capital and reinstall the internationally recognized President Hadi. That has not worked. And what we've seen over the past few months is that Saudi Arabia has actually inserted ground troops in an attempt to retake the country. And so Yemen, much like Syria, much like Iraq, is starting to fall apart in this very messy, very chaotic civil war.
And at its core, is this civil war simply a Sunni-Shiite war?
Well, at its core, this is an issue that has very local grievances. So the Houthi rebels are a group that's indigenous to Yemen. They have a lot of issues with the capital. They have a lot of issues with the current president, the internationally recognized President Hadi. But what's happening is that these international and regional issues, this Sunni-Shia sectarian war, is being grafted onto a local war. So there's really two conflicts that are working in parallel here, a local one and then a regional Sunni-Shia one. And really, I think what we're seeing is the Iraqification of Yemen with this sectarian battle.
And the U.S. has a lot at stake here because this is a country that has been known to be a safe haven for terrorists. And the U.S., obviously an ally of Saudi Arabia who would like President Hadi back in power, and now increasingly you could say an ally of Iran, which is backing the Houthi Shiite rebels.
Yeah. So the U.S. is in a really interesting situation. The U.S. actually has two parallel drone programs in Yemen, one run by Joint Special Operations Command and one run by the CIA. And these drone programs are targeting al-Qaeda operatives who are there within Yemen. And the U.S. is also working with Saudi Arabia and is providing intelligence for Saudi strikes in Yemen as a way of limiting civilian casualties. However, most people and most outside observers, myself included, would say that Saudi Arabia and the U.S. have not done a very good job of avoiding civilian casualties, which puts the U.S. in a very interesting situation. The U.S. essentially has ownership of this war, that is, they're sided with Saudi Arabia, but they seem to have very little control over Saudi Arabia or what it is that Saudi Arabia is actually doing there inside of Yemen.
And is Saudi Arabia mostly concerned about this because they're worried that if the rebels are able to take control and hold control in Yemen, that a similar thing could happen in Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia, I think, is concerned about a number of things. So earlier in 2009, 2010, there was a war between the Houthi rebels and the current government or the former government in Yemen. That was former President Ali Abdullah Saleh. Saudi Arabia got drawn into that, and the Houthi rebels actually did very well against the Saudi military. So they were able to overtake a couple of Saudi positions. They took some Saudi soldiers hostage. They stole a lot of Saudi equipment. And that embarrassment has really been bothering the Saudis for the past 5 years. And I think when President Hadi asked for help, Saudi Arabia saw an opportunity to really get revenge on their longtime rivals, the Houthis. And the fact that Saudi Arabia believes the Houthis are being supported by Iran only makes them that much eager to go after them. But as I've said, the war has not been going particularly well for Saudi Arabia. Now they've inserted ground troops. And really, there's no way to know how it is that this war is going to end.
That's Gregory Johnson, author of The Last Refuge, Yemen, Al-Qaeda, and America's War in Arabia. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And amid all the geopolitics of the war in Yemen, there is a real humanitarian crisis. According to the United Nations, 80% of the population there now require humanitarian aid. And one of the groups providing that aid is Doctors Without Borders, or MSF. Carlina Clare manages emergency programs in Yemen for MSF. She's with us from Germany, where she's just returned from Yemen. Carlina, what are things like on the ground in Yemen?
Well, Yemen is a country which is in a complete war zone. I must say, I've rarely been in a country where there's so much active and high-tech fighting. There's everyday airstrikes by fighter jets. There's shelling with big grenades of huge tanks. There are armed personnel carriers. And unfortunately, it are the civilians in Yemen who pay the price for this conflict.
And is it clear who is doing the bombing? Are these all Saudi planes?
Yeah, the Saudi Arabian coalition, which is supported also by countries like the Emirates, but also the United States and France, are the only ones who are having access to planes and to airstrikes. So that is clear. Airstrikes are the Saudi Arabian coalition.
Are there places where people, civilians, can go for safety during the day and at nighttime? Do they know where they'll be safe and where they won't be safe?
No, it's difficult because for a big part, it's our military targets which are hit, but they're also targeting houses of the president, houses of generals. That's what we see in the south of Yemen and a bit in Sana'a, but in the north of Yemen, where the Houthi population lives, there the airstrikes are not only targeting military targets. We've seen there many airstrikes of water plants, of hospitals. We've seen airstrikes on weddings, which is, of course, for us not an acceptable way of fighting a war.
So what kind of humanitarian aid are you able to provide on the ground? What do people need?
It's very difficult. One of the things which has happened is that there's a blockade of weapons for Yemen, which is also agreed upon by the UN. But the de facto reality of that is that there's hardly any ship arriving in Yemen. And 90% of the food in Yemen, 90% of the fuel in Yemen is actually coming from imports. And as water in Yemen is only deep in the ground, sometimes 100, 200 meters deep, they need fuel for the water pumps. They need fuel for their hospitals. So what you see in reality is that people struggle with finding water. They struggle in finding enough food. And meanwhile, people are really scared, really scared.
Well, and I imagine that you yourselves are scared, especially after what just happened in Afghanistan, the bombing of an MSF hospital, a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz from U.S. airstrikes. How are you able to operate in a place like Yemen and remain safe yourselves?
Well, it is, of course, as Doctors Without Borders, you know you're taking risks, but we are normally quite well able to manage those risks. But an incident like in Kunduz, I'm afraid there will be less medical staff wanting to work with an organization like Doctors Without Borders. And yes, if you are in, I was in Yemen when the news of Kunduz arrived at us, and it makes it suddenly very personal because I'm laying there in my bed listening to airstrikes hitting, and I'm hoping that the Saudi Arabian coalition is respecting the location Doctors Without Borders is working, and we also provide them with the GPS coordinates. So it makes it very personal, and it makes it very close. At the same time, I do have the confidence, and they also gave us that guarantee, that the Saudi Arabian coalition will not target locations where MSF is working.
And what about among the rebels? Are you safe from any rebel fighters that might want to attack?
Well, what we see with both warring parties in Yemen is that they often are shelling at each other's positions, but they do not take into account the population which is living there, the people who are living there. So like when I was there, one of our hospitals we support, the Al Tora Hospital in Taiz, was hit by shelling and 8 medical staff members got injured. So it is actually an unreality, and it is not necessarily because the hospital is being targeted or that people walking on the streets are being targeted, but there's also not much consideration for the fact that there's a father with a baby walking on the streets. One of our drivers was killed because he left his house to find water for his family. When I was there, there were 4 children in our hospital who had been injured by an UXO, an unexploded device, so a bomb or a grenade which is on the street but you didn't explode. And they played with it, and yeah, it exploded. And 4 children were heavily wounded and needed surgery. So there's so many consequences of this ongoing intensive conflict, and it's sometimes it also feels that the world is so busy with Syria, with the refugee influx in Europe, that Yemen seems to be a forgotten conflict.
Well, it's really heroic work that you are doing there, Carlina Clair. Thank you very much for all that you do and for joining us today. Carlina Clair, managing emergency programs in Yemen for Doctors Without Borders. She's speaking with us from Bonn, Germany. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.